Everybody's smartless now. Everybody's smartless now. Come on and smartless with me.
Oh my God, he did it. Oh my God, he did it.
You can just hear radios turning off right now.
Welcome to Smartless.
Smart.
So, Jay, when you wash your hands, I've heard you refer to it before as boiling them.
Yes, sure. Well, but I don't, you know, I mean, if I don't boil them, that would kill a lot more than the germs.
Right.
I don't even wash my hands with hot water.
Sure, sure. Yeah, because you don't need to anymore.
Hot water is a myth, yeah. Right? The hot water does not help you with germs.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that.
No, yeah, it doesn't.
So I'm going to just do it in cold water now.
And also eggs don't give you a cholesterol problem.
This is true.
It's also a myth.
They were on, then they were bad, now they're back on.
Wait a second. We've talked about this before, but it's not in the same ballpark as the washing of your hands. Are you just talking about myths in general? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, you're not going to grow hair on your palms if you masturbate. I mean, what are we doing here? Are we just going through the list?
I don't know, but you, I think you can over-electrolyte yourself like you do.
Jason, talk right now.
What are you talking about?
Unbelievable with the eating.
Well, at least I do it when someone else is talking.
No, but you know what? After all of this time and the shaming that you've done with me with the eating.
You know what else? Look what I'm doing. I'm moving my head away from the microphone when I chew. Another trick you don't
Except
do.
Except for now.
Yeah, you can go ahead and keep it
you
there.
You had to get your point across. Yeah, get it. You made your point across. You got your point across while your mouth was full of food.
No.
Oh, God, what a sad sight.
Can we get to our guest, for God's sake?
I know, but last thing. Can't you over-electrolyte? Can't you over... hydrate.
You want to hear something honest? I'm honesting right now.
Yeah.
Here, I'm going to honest with you. Okay. I was, you know, I'm very conscious of my puff factor on my face. You
yeah,
know,
I got it.
Sure. We are too. We're very aware too.
And I was noticing I was holding quite a bit of water. And I was like, shit, I'm not eating salt or sugar because those are the big puffers for me. Mm-hmm. And of course, I haven't had a sip of alcohol for 20 years. And so I was like, it's got to be these goddamn electrolytes. I did a deep dive on the internet to see if electrolytes, because it would stand to reason because you're trying to replace salts and sodium. I'm like, God, I figured it out.
Right.
And that's not it.
It's not it. What a story.
No. So it's just your face.
It's just my face.
No. Because you've explained before that your people needed to hold on to water because you're in Malta when you're pulling up the fish
because sometimes it'll get cold out there in the Mediterranean.
Yeah, and you're out there.
I think
for
it's
weeks.
Actually from the other side of my family that probably grew
not
up
the Maltese side.
In some sort of iceberg somewhere that they had to hold on to a lot of fat and water to insulate themselves.
Have you thought about doing a victory lap down in Malta, just getting and letting the Maltese get a look at you?
They call them the Maltese Falcon.
Well, to say that I'm a countryman and be proud of me?
Yeah. Do you think this?
Sorry.
Excuse
that,
you.
That, you know what that sound was? That was the sound of our mystery guest pushing away from the table in their chair saying, that's enough.
They've had enough.
I'm out of here.
You know, this is a good time to talk about our mystery guest because our guest today has emerged as a true treasure in this country. Our guest is a very, very funny person. Our guest is... an Angeleno.
Oh.
Born and raised Los Angeles. Our guest came out of, it seemed like was like shot out of a cannon into the comedy scene a few years ago. And before you knew it, this person was everywhere and the top of every list to make every television program and every movie just like overnight. By the way, not overnight
We need to have a guest session. Let's guess on this one.
Yeah, I would like to guess Amy Schumer.
Okay, and Jason?
That's a great guess. Michael Malley.
Another great guess. Two very funny people. But
very
this
funny.
Person is an incredibly funny person who first came to prominence on The Carmichael Show.
Oh,
that was the breakthrough. This person is a stand-up comedian. This person then won an Emmy Award for her hosting of Saturday Night Live. She published a memoir called The Last Black Unicorn. She starts in a TV series called The Last OG. She executive produces and voices Tuca. And Birdie on Tuca and Birdie on Netflix Adult Swim. She won a Grammy Award for Best Comedy Album for her album Black Mitzvah. And she only making the second African-American woman to win this prize after Whoopi Goldberg. This person is none other than one of my favorite co-stars from Lego Movie 2, Tiffany Haddish.
I had it. You should have let me guess it. Look at Tiffany.
Hello, fellas. How are you today?
Wow.
Wow.
Listener, we've got a blonde Tiffany Haddish.
Wow.
It's a hard hat, honey. I'm here for work.
Is it for work?
It's for work.
And what is the part?
I'm working with you. I'm appropriating the white culture. I'm playing a white woman.
Sure. Please do.
Y'all the smartest and funniest. That's the only reason I showed up, because I'm going to tell you right now. I was like, it's too early. It's my only day off. I got to get
Wait, what are you working on right now?
Success and prosperity.
There it is.
Okay. So, but.
There it is.
Abundance and generational wealth. That's what I'm working on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But you know, as I ask, what are you working on? You really do have always 18,000 projects going on. Like, you work so hard all the time.
Well, I do get away 1 week out of the month. I'll go, like, to, like, Panama or to somewhere. I'm loving Panama right now.
Do you go to Panama for the...
She likes watching the ships go by.
I'm going there. I want to start a farm. I want to own a farm.
In Panama?
And yeah. I want to grow pineapples.
Okay.
I want to grow coconuts.
Okay.
I want to grow jackfruit and soursop.
What's soursop?
It's the best freaking fruit you ever had in your life. Full of all the nutrients and everything you need. It's a tropical fruit. It looks like a dragon's egg.
And when you eat it,
it fills you up with all the nutrients and everything that you need for the day.
What's it called?
Soursop.
And it has properties that heal cancer, that cure, like, I wouldn't say cure. I'm like, because I don't want to get murdered by the drug.
It's like antioxidants.
People, but
they'll push it off for a few
everything
years.
You need, it has everything you need to make your body heal itself, though.
Wow.
And really good on blood pressure. You know, black people and their blood pressure is something crazy. And that soursop really regulates it.
The world we live in right now, people are going to take this clip of you saying that. They're going to be like, Tiffany Haddish claims to cure cancer with this. And then it's just going to be.
Let's hope.
Let's hope.
Let's hope. You're right. Let's hope.
Now, do you have wanderlust? Are you good about flying around the world and exploring new places? That's something I'd like to get better at.
I'm working on it. Yeah, I'm working on, like, exploring. When the first time I went to Panama, my mind was blown, because I knew that there was, like, some Spanish people that were dark-skinned that speak Spanish, right?
Right.
Because I live in L.A.
Right.
But I didn't realize that there were people that looked like they're straight off of the continent of Africa.
Right.
Right.
Mixed with nothing but just straight up African that speak Spanish the way they do, and that, like, just celebrate life the way they do. And it's just like, it's so relaxing. And oh my God, it's where the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean meet.
There's no
military there. Right.
Really?
Cause it's a sanctioned something. Cause all the goods from all over the world go through the Panama Canal.
Right. Yeah. Which originally they were going to build it through Nicaragua. And then they started that project and they abandoned it and they did Panama. True story.
Right. Huh. Which a lot of islanders, a lot of Haitians and Jamaicans and Africans built that canal.
That was a pretty audacious idea, right? Well, let's just cut this little area right here and we'll connect.
I've always thought I'd like to do banking in Panama.
I'd like to do it.
I'm going to open up a bank. Haddish Federal. Haddish Federal.
There is a lot of money laundering happening down in Panama.
I guess that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is,
they got U.S. dollars down there. They deal in all U.S. dollars.
Mm-hmm. I'd love to get in some money laundering.
I'm Jason not in the business of dry cleaning money, but I will make sure it's clean.
Yeah, just call Marty Bird. He'll take care of it for you.
Have you ever seen Jason's show, the Ozarks, there? Have you ever seen?
Yes, I freaking love that show. Me and my man sit up and watch it. We ready for the next season.
I know, it's great.
And your man, if you've been living under a rock, your man is Common.
That's his name.
I like him. What a nice man.
I love him.
I was in a movie with him. I was in, now I'm blanking on it. My God.
We were pillow talking about it. I don't remember what the name was, but he said that you were awesome to work with.
He's a cool guy. I met him once up in Canada.
Smoking Aces.
Smoking Aces.
Yes.
My brain is so bad nowadays.
He's very cool. He's such a talented dude. He's a great actor.
And a nice
great
man.
Actor.
I've never met him. I would kill to meet him. I'm a huge fan of both of you. How long have you guys been together?
It's been a year.
Where's he? Why don't you wake his ass up and drag him into the frame?
Yeah.
Well, no, he's at his house, and I'm at my house.
All right.
I went to sleep at his house, and then I came to my. This is where I work, my house. And then I do the other stuff at his house.
I got you. All right. Now, what are you guys going to do later on today? What type of stuff do you guys like to do on the weekends? What's day plans look like for Tiffany and Common?
I think he's going into the studio. I'm going to go do a comedy show on a rooftop off of Wilshire Boulevard at about 2:00. And then, I'm going to go there at 1:00 and the show, and I go on at 2:30.
Yeah. Okay.
Stand up.
And then, so I'm going to get a little litty and eat good and then do my show.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to go from there, and I'm going to go to the Jungle Cruise premiere.
Wow.
Oh, awesome. I want to
see
that.
So it's kind of a work day for you. You don't mind your weekends being a work day?
No. I feel like this is an opportunity day. This is a day to talk to people that I really want to work with.
Nice.
Like, all three of you are guys that I really would like to work with. Will, I already work with you, so whatever.
But
everybody else.
It wasn't that great.
Yeah, likewise.
Yep.
Tiff, did you grow up in L.A. your whole life?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And always loved it, never wanted to live somewhere else?
For a little bit. I used to go to Atlanta to visit my friend in school, and I wanted to live there for a little bit.
Yeah.
And then I realized I don't want to live there.
Because?
No, thank you.
No?
Yeah, well, tell me, because I spend a lot of time in Atlanta. You tell me, because I mean, I love it here in L.A., but if I had to work somewhere else, Atlanta is just great people, great crews, incredible restaurant, blah, 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 blah. What is it about that city for you that was like, L.A. would be better?
The men are crazy.
Are they?
The men are not necessarily, I'm used to L.A. dudes that's like, you know, they like get at you and then they realize you're not the one and they just disappear. But in Atlanta, they kind of stalkerish.
Oh, they'll just straight up follow you.
And they are very aggressive. They grabbing ass. They grabbing your arms. Like, it's just no.
And you'd rather know where you're
a fucking hunt. Yeah. Like, you're not on an actual hunt. Like, you can communicate with me. Use your words to catch me. You don't got to actually grab me.
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? Like, don't get your motherfucking hands off me. And I'm a fighter. So, you grab me, I got PTSD, too. If you just snatch me up,
right.
I'm going to first assess the situation. Are they shooting? No. Oh, you just grab me? Bow, bow. I start fighting. I would catch a case.
Right.
Let's go around the room here. We'll start with you, Tiffany. When's the last time you actually threw a punch and it landed on someone?
Actually, last time I threw a punch and it landed on someone.
Because the last time I threw a punch, it missed. But
when I did night school, I punched Kevin. I didn't mean to, but I did.
Okay, that counts.
So that was like 3 years ago?
Well, last time you threw a punch?
The last time.
Fourth grade?
No, I was 21. I got in a fight in a bar in New York.
You remember whether you won or lost?
I won.
Good for
you.
I think
it was the only time I ever won.
You lose a lot of
it. It was my last one. I went out a winner.
Did you get any fights when you're playing hockey? Like throwing off the gloves?
No. I was a little kid. No. It wasn't like that when I was a little kid. But I did one time, I was doing a scene and I was supposed to miss the guy by a lot. And I was like kind of had him down and my elbow caught him.
You threw a haddish.
And I threw a haddish and I caught him pretty good. And I kind of like looked down like, oh, shit. But we just kept rolling. And God bless this guy. He kept going with it, this stunt guy. He took it and then cut. And immediately I ran back. I'm like, Jesus Christ, I'm so
Did they end up using that take?
No, they cut the whole scene. No,
oh,
they cut
no.
the whole scene. I felt bad for him because he cut
he
my
got
elbow.
Hit for nothing.
Yeah.
Sean, when's the last time you threw a punch? And Scotty doesn't count.
I haven't thrown a punch ever. I drank some punch for breakfast this morning.
Oh,
that
God.
Counts. That does count.
Oh, my God.
But no, but when I was doing Three Stooges, I had to hit this guy with a shovel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And it was made of rubber, of course. Mm-hmm. But the top of it was metal, and it hit him right smack dab in the middle of the forehead
we
and
have
cut
blood?
His head open.
Yeah.
He cut his head open.
Third eye. You busted his third eye.
Yeah, his third eye, yeah.
The only punches that you guys have thrown that have all been set stories, Hollywood
set
stories from acting. We're pathetic.
Well, then you want me to call out the real stories, the real fights
I had?
Yeah.
Me and my sister, we had a squabble about 6 years
Sisters
ago.
Can go, huh?
And then I definitely punched my brother in the chest.
Now, when you fight a girl, are you allowed to grab the hair?
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's a little unfair.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Everything, gotcha. It's a fight. It's about whooping ass.
Yeah.
So snatch that hair, you snatch the hair, and you bop, 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 bop in the
you
face like that.
You hold the head
that.
With one hand.
The equivalent for a guy is grabbing the shirt, you know, and so you can get a guy down to the ground. I once, I was best friends with a guy for a couple of years,
So I thought I knew him pretty well. And then we were at a bar and he got into it with some guy and the guy said, let's go outside. And guy, my buddy said, great, fine. So we all followed him outside. And my buddy walks out there and the first thing he does, is he pulls off his shirt and he says, okay, let's go. And I was like, what the fuck? What's that move? Taking off your shirt. And I realized you take off your shirt so the guy can't grab you and get an unfair advantage. And I was like, Jesus Christ, that's strong.
Next time I get in a fight, I'm taking off my shirt. I'm be like, let's go, bitches.
Yeah,
let's
that's go. Strong. Like, it's not earrings, fingernails. It's shirt comes off.
Yeah.
That would
so
be
I'm
like.
I'm going to take my wig off.
Yeah, I'm not
so
fucking with
my
her.
Wig off. Oh, yeah. You hoes don't know what you messing with today.
Yeah, hold the gold.
Let me take my hard hat off because you ain't fucking that up.
Uh-huh.
Jason, do you think you'd ever be mad enough to take your wig off?
No.
Jason, no, I didn't think. So, wait.
I take my wig off for swim team. That's it.
Let me, so Tiffany, talking about all that sort of stuff, I mean, you don't fight anymore that much, I don't imagine, but because
I mean,
you,
I would fight if I had to. If somebody hit me first, they better knock me the fuck out because I'm all the rage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All the angry back woman's gonna come out. All the anger from all the years, all the nose is gonna rise up from my ovaries and shoot out of my. I'm gonna turn into one of them Mortal Kombat characters. But I can't fight no more because they say they're gonna sue you. People will sue you for whatever. And it's
yeah,
like, but if they
careful.
Put their hands on me first, then I'm afraid for my life.
So now, instead of fighting, you laugh. This is kind of what I'm getting to, which is like...
I use my words.
You use your words. And you came up, you're from Los Angeles, you grew up in South Central. What was that leap? How do you become a huge superstar that you are today? What's that first step to getting into comedy from where you grew up? Because that's a big leap, right?
Yeah, it's a huge leap. First step is... Well, like, I watched this movie, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, and there's a scene in the movie where the detective says to the rabbit, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? He said, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. Mm. So I was like, that's how I'm going to get help with my homework. That's how I'm going to get people to do things for me. So I was just the silliest and funniest kid in school. And I was already very shy, so it was like forcing this to be funny. And
were
I
you really?
I was very shy as a little girl because there was a lot going on in my world. So, but when I came into school, I walk in like, okay, this is the funny thing that's going to happen. I mean, I would plot and scheme the funny things I would do and say the night before, the things I would wear and all of this so that I could be funny and I could get people to let me copy their homework, let me cheat off their test, get them to read things to me and I memorize it. Like, I was very manipulative, I would
say. Where'd you get your sense of humor from? Is it one of your parents or a sibling or watching TV or movies?
My mom was pretty funny. She was always telling stories and stuff. My grandma was hilarious.
Yeah.
I feel like TV gave me everything. And I would always try to copy different characters off TV. Like, I would watch Bonanza, right? Like, that was one of my shows, Bonanza. And that's not necessarily a funny show, and like Little House on the Prairie, but I was like, okay, I'm going to use this. Because when I started going to these schools that had white kids in it, I'm like, I got to use this. This is their history. So I got to use the things. Right. So I started wearing cowboy vests with tassels on it. And I'd be like, hello, partner. Howdy, partner. Like, they'd be like laughing. Like, you're so silly, Tiffany. I'll wear like a bonnet, you know, a bonnet like for...
like Nellie
Olson.
Little
House on the Prairie that you tie around. Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, hello, hello. Hey, how may I help you? Call me Laura Ingalls. Like, and they would laugh.
And we will be right back.
We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things with related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work. so you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8+ acres. I gotta keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8+ acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're gonna go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool, and I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing, so maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you're interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator. And now back to the show.
Jason was on Little House on the Prairie when he was a kid. True story.
Yeah. I know.
So you're actually telling his history, but I love also that you're like, oh, all the white kids, their existence is they all grew up in like, you know, like the 1800s, yeah. Like on the
horse-drawn carriages.
Look, here goes my thing. I thought all white people lived in TV. I thought everybody right. white that I saw comes from some TV show, some program. So that's all I saw, right? And then I'm in a community where it's just black and some Hispanic.
Right.
When the police would come, I thought they were all from Chips. I'm like, oh, man, can I get your autograph?
Right.
God, I used to watch Chips
They all
every
had
day.
The freaking mustaches and a Miami Vice dude detective come to the house looking for my auntie because, oh, some dope shit. And I'm like, can I have your autograph, man? Like,
Was there a black actor, a black show that inspired you when that broke and you were like, oh, my God, that's not just TV. There are black people in the world too.
Well, yeah.
Like,
well, Martin was on TV. You know,
that shit was funny.
Family Matters.
Family Matters.
What
yeah.
was the character that Martin played? The woman across the street, Shanae.
Shanae, off the chain. So funny. My aunt. I just had lunch with Martin the other day. I was like, this is so crazy. Because I used to watch every single show, every single movie. And now I'm pitching movie ideas to him for us to work together. And he wants to work with me. What?
Oh, like, that was mind blowing.
By the way, of course he wants to work with you.
But what I used to say when I was a kid, I used to sit and watch Martin and be like, one day I'm going to work with him. I don't know how I'm going to work with him. I don't know why he would work with me, but I'm going to work with him in some kind of way.
But you know what? Mm-hmm. That's how it works. As you know, it's like you kind of just, it is that kind of like that dreaming about it and that thinking about like making it happen and just going like, I want this to work out. I mean, it's not that easy, but you know what I mean.
And was the attention you got from being funny, did that motivate you to want to be an actor?
No. What motivated me to want to be an actor is this boy, he was in drama. We was going to this predominantly white school, it's 3% black, and he was the only black boy in drama. And I was like, ooh, if I get in drama, then we gonna have to kiss. They gonna have to put us together. Uh-huh. So I got in drama, and turns out I was really good at it, right? And
did you get to kiss him?
No, because my damn teacher was all liberal and open-minded. She believed in interracial couples. So I never got to kiss him. I was so mad at her. Like, come on,
you got stuck with
Young,
the white guys.
Where is racism not working for me today? she made me sick. But then we went into high school, and I followed him into drama in high school. Like, basically, any classes he was doing or whatever he was trying to do, that's what I was trying to do. And he thought I was just like this silly girl that was always trying to make him laugh, but I would save up money and buy him candy grams, and I make sure he, like, the candy grams usually just have blow pops, but I knew he liked Snickers, so I made sure there was a Snicker in his candy gram. Like, I was on it, and I would try to write him notes, but I spell really bad. I was, like, the worst speller, the worst reader. So I write him these notes, and it would be all misspelled. The only thing spelled right is my name. Like,
what happened to this guy? Do you know where he is now?
So he ended up playing for the Washington Redskins. But I guess they're called something else now.
The Washington football team now. Yeah.
Yeah, Washington football team.
Uh-huh. Ended up playing for them and went to college and all that stuff. And now he does commercial real estate.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
He works for some big commercial real estate company, and he has like 5 kids.
Are you guys still in touch?
He came to my comedy show at the Staples Center. And I wrote about him in my book, and he showed up with his wife. In my book, I talk about, like, I gave him so much candy, he probably doesn't have any teeth anymore. I hadn't seen him in over 20 years. He shows up to my comedy show, and he has, like, all brand new teeth, like Hollywood teeth. And I was like, that's my fault.
That's hilarious.
But the thing that I loved about him the most is that his laugh was, like, the best laugh in the whole wide world. Like, I just loved his laugh, and that's why I wanted to be around him all the time. And I used to do whatever it took to make him laugh, I would do it. Like, because... Mm-hmm. His laugh just...
When you were doing your show, could you hear him in the audience laughing?
No, it was over 7,000 people. I couldn't hear.
Right. Come on, Jason. What do you think? She's doing a show for 5 people?
Well, I mean, maybe she gave him a good seat, you know, where he was actually up front.
No, it was over 7,000 people.
7,000 people. You're talking to Tiffany Haddish, you asshole.
Now, he did come backstage, and it was like a high school reunion. Everybody I went to school with, they had flew into town and everything, because Tiffany Haddish is at the Staples Center. Uh-huh. It's huge. And so he came backstage, and we had like a party back there, and like, so all these people I went to school was there, and he was there, and I was giving him all the attention, and his wife too, but I just wanted to hear him laugh, and I heard, like, his laugh made me feel like a little girl again. It made me feel so
Oh, that's happy. So great. I love that.
I wanted to record his laugh. I was like, can you laugh into this recorder? He's like, what? I was like, never mind. That's creepy.
I do like that idea of, you guys probably remember too, there are certain people in your life, especially, or maybe in your family, who you like the way it made you feel when they laugh, specifically them. Like the sound of their laugh or the way they laugh. Did you guys have people like that in your life, Sean or Jason?
I did, yeah. I mean, my sister's laugh, Tracy, that's Tracy, my sister. But wait, Tiffany, I think that says a lot about somebody who keeps in touch with all of those people that you went to high school with, and you're still friends with them, and that's so great. Yeah. They must just root for
you. My best friend from junior high, she's got one of my favorite laughs too. Selena, we've been best friends all these years since we were 12. So
how about that? They all freak out where you are right now, like in life?
No, they knew it was going to happen at some point. They knew I was going to do something. It was like, either you're going to go to jail or you're going to be famous as fuck. You're going to do something.
So you're still so connected to where you're from. In fact, aren't you opening a or did you open a supermarket back in the community?
I'm in the process of opening a grocery store. Oh, if you guys want to be on the board, you are more than welcome.
That's
so
cool. That's really cool.
Yeah, tell me about that. I just heard about that from our mutual friend who told me that you're doing that.
Yes.
Yeah, so, which is so great.
So I'm opening a grocery because they're shutting down. Like, I still live in South Central Los Angeles. And, you know, the area is transforming. It's
sure,
definitely
of course.
Changing. Mm-hmm. This is part of why I have the blonde hair. And I want to fit into my community. But they've shut down like 3 grocery stores around here, which is really not good. And there's no plans of implementing or putting in.
Because of business? Because of poor business?
No, or? Because they don't want to pay $5 more.
Right.
Right.
Right? They need to pay their employees $5 more because right. they're essential workers or whatever. And they don't want to do it. So they're just shutting down the stores. Also, you know, like we were supposed to have a Trader Joe's over here. When I bought my house, they were saying, oh, the Trader Joe's is going to open up over here. And they didn't open a Trader Joe's. And then, you know, in my research of trying to open or in the process of me opening this store, I found out that Trader Joe's only puts themselves in communities that have a high college graduate demographic.
Wow. Huh.
So in South Central LA, it might not be a lot of college graduates, but there are a lot of business owners and people that work with their hands and, you know, service people, but they don't want to put a Trader Joe's in this area. So that made me really upset. Then the whole thing with everything that was going on with the injustices and the marching and the protests, and I heard the police say, we're here to serve the owners. We're here to protect the owners. Like, that's what we're supposed to do, protect the owners. And so that made me really infuriated.
Right.
Then I start reading all these books, and I'm reading The Color of Money and how the other have banks, and I'm seeing all the things that have happened and how, and I start doing my research even more, and I'm seeing how in a black community, the dollar only circulates for 6 hours. But in every other community, pretty much every community besides the black community, the dollar circulates for at least 18 hours to 12 days. In the Asian community, 12 to 13 days.
I'm an idiot. What does that mean, circulates?
Circulate means, like, okay, so me going to get my hair done and then going to the gas station and then going to the grocery store and then going to, like, you know, buy clothing and do activities. Mm-hmm. Like, once I go get my hair done, that's it. There's nothing else that's owned by a black person. There's not a lot of places to circulate that money.
I see.
Like,
got
not
it.
A lot of black-owned businesses is what I understand. I'm saying. It's not a lot of places to circulate.
That's wild.
So, like, I don't know if you noticed this. If you go to Koreatown, there's Korean everything. There's a Korean grocery store. There's Korean bank. There's Korean, you know, clothing store. Korean carpenters. Korean. It's Korean everything. When you go to the Mexican part of town, there's a Mexican grocery stores on every corner. Little grocery stores. Big grocery stores. Like Mexican this, Mexican that. Right? Even banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you go to a black community, what do you see? Liquor stores run by Asians. Mm-hmm. You see a lot of churches. Mm-hmm. You know, and once I get my tides over to the church, that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. You know, right.
But you see hair salons, once I get my hair cut or hair done, that's it. So how are we supposed to maintain generational wealth? How are we supposed to keep people from going to jail, committing crimes, if there's no opportunity?
Something else I'm just remembering, I saw you somewhere speak about this. I'm going to get it wrong, so please correct me. You really said the importance about really thinking about how to reach the goal of owning something. I thought that was so great.
Right. So that's why I'm opening this grocery store, because I feel like, what kind of business holds thousands of businesses in one place? Grocery stores. There's a million, there's 100,000 companies in a grocery store, right?
Yeah.
So if I make sure that 75% of those products in that grocery store come from black vendors, black farmers, which I don't know if you know the disparity that's happening with black farmers.
No.
When we used to be the main farmers and now we're getting pushed out of farming. And so anyways, I want to create a place for that synergy to happen, right? And then
that's
not
great.
Just, it can be a mixture of things, because I know there's not enough black-owned businesses to fill up the grocery store, but have that be a priority. And then it's not really a grocery store, it's more of a community center, because I want there to be cooking classes, because they took home economics out of school, which I think is to destroy the families.
Yeah.
Right? I think that was to destroy the family structure. Because if you can't feed your family, mm-hmm. if you can't maintain the bills and all this mm-hmm. stuff, that's what home economics teaches you how to do. Mm-hmm. Then the family falls apart. When the family falls apart, the community falls apart. When the community falls apart, people are getting shot and killed.
Yes.
Okay? There's crime happening, right?
Because
family is the root of everything. So I want to teach financial literacy as well. So once you have people that know how to, that understand money and how it works, and you have people that are eating better, which is going to help with the mental health, right?
Jason.
And they're able to cook for themselves in a sense of pride, right? Then they'll be stronger. When they're stronger, their family is stronger. When the family is stronger, the community is stronger and less need for violence.
This is fantastic.
Yeah.
How do I want to get involved in that.
You're more than welcome to come. You got my number, Sean.
I do, girl.
You got my number. Call me. I'll put you on my board.
Count me and Will in as well. You know, we just had someone on the show, LeBron James, who's very, very involved with community and family and all that stuff too. I bet you he'd lend a helping hand as well, especially in Los Angeles.
Well, I'm definitely, my next step is to reach out to a lot of the athletes, but like Kevin's on my board, Lil Rel Howery's on my board, Jada Pinkett Smith, Snoop. Like we got people from the community, but I need your help too.
Yeah. Listen, count us in.
Anything I can do.
Count all three of us in. Tiffany, you're incredible. I love.
Yeah, it's so motivating.
You're such a self-starter and there's nothing holds you back. You're just like, this is a problem. Let's go to the root of the problem. Let's do it. And I feel like you're like that in every aspect of your life. Like
you make shit happen.
I'm a visionary. I'm a visionary. And then I try to pull the people together to help me make this thing happen.
I love it.
I've been sitting with city council, like sitting with the city council members, been sitting with the city supervisors, and I've come up with like two locations that I think are great. I got to figure out how much it's going to cost. That's the part. Like I saved up all this money literally because the government be trying to take all your money, right? So figured out a way to put the money to the side for the community. Right. So like, and it's like tax free and it's for the community.
This is where Panama comes in. Yeah. This is all Panama. Have you considered Monte Carlo and the Cayman Islands as well?
Just need a big duffel bag.
I've been to the Cayman Islands. Not interested. Haven't been to Monte Carlo, but I will check it out.
Mm-hmm. Monaco is incredible for banking.
So what does your vision look like for 10 years from now? Because your ascension has been incredible.
I have a whole book, okay? This is how hard I've been working on it.
For the co-op?
Yes, yeah. For the co-op, for the grocery store.
So then what's the ratio that you would love to see between your philanthropy and your career and your life with Common and all kinds of things? Like, are you the kind of person that has a firm vision of what the next year, 5, 10 years looks like and that's what guides you?
Yeah, I have a plan, but I don't know.
Of course you do.
But it's God's plan, right?
Sure.
I have an idea of what I want, but whatever God has in store, that's what's going to happen, right? Mm. But I have it all written out. Like, you know, in my mind, I'm going to open a grocery store up in 2 to 3 years. It'll open. I have Discovery Plus following me around, recording all of it. Because, you know, in my community, a lot of people are like, why don't Oprah come back and open up a bank? Why don't these people get all famous and they don't do anything in the community? Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's really difficult if you don't have the proper help. If you're not willing to, like, talk to your friends and ask for help and be like, who do you know that can help me get this done? Like, if you're not willing to do that, put yourself out there like that, it's very difficult to do. So I've been putting myself out there and trying. So in my mind, the store will open in 2 years, maybe 3, and then I'll open them up all over the country. And in 10 years, they'll be in every underserved community all over.
That's so exciting.
The people will have more home ownership. America will be great. America will be great again because there'll be more secure people mentally, physically, and financially.
Yeah, I love that. Look at you go.
Are you and Common going to get married or are you going to remain just common law partners?
Jesus. I have no idea. Boy. Well, first of all, we're not necessarily common law because we don't live in the same house.
Oh, that's true. That's right. You pointed that out.
I would love for him to always be my friend. Yeah. If he decides he wants to marry me, cool. He gonna have to. I don't want a ring. I want an apartment building. You understand?
Sure.
Like, you know how they like present you with a ring?
Sure.
I want him to present me with the deed to a duplex or a 36-plex. You know?
Yeah.
Present
I like
me
that.
With an apartment building because then
does he know this?
Yes, he's aware. He said, I'm crazy for that. I said, no, I'm not crazy. I'm smart because a marriage is a union of two businesses. Uh-huh. And the whole point of coming together is to grow yourselves, but also grow a family and make sure they have something to inherit. So they can't, this ring,
that's so great. You,
they can inherit the ring, but that ain't, what's that? $2,000, $3,000, maybe $10,000?
Uh-huh.
You know, what is that? But if you get an apartment building that will increase in value, the children will always be able to go to school. We'll always have some. If we get sick or something, we'll have something to cash out and be able to take care of ourselves. Like, there'll be something there for
God
us.
God bless you. That's what I want. That's great. I love that.
Come at me with a deed, baby. Don't come at me with a ring.
Yeah, put a deed on it.
Because if you're trying to buy my life and change my last name to your last name.
Yeah. Well, his name's so common.
A ring ain't going to do it. We can get the ring after you get the building.
Right, well, you're lucky he doesn't have a last name. I mean, that's the good part.
He does have a last name.
Oh, he does. He does. I know.
It's O-N.
No.
It's Lynn.
Yeah.
Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products. But so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that I, this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. But do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell you, of all guests we've had on SmartList, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star.
Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye, Seps. All right, back to the show.
You seem to have it all figured out.
I don't have it all figured out.
A lot figured out.
You do. Having a plan is 75% of the way there.
So you and Kevin have known each other, Kevin Hart. I've known Kevin for a long time, too, for 20 years or something. I met him. He was doing a pilot with my ex-wife years ago. He's such a good guy.
Yeah,
A great dude. How big of a part did Kevin play in your life when you were starting out?
Well, in the first beginnings, like I started in 97. So in the first beginnings, not much. But me and Kevin, we met like 2004, 2005. And he's been like a big brother to me ever since. Giving me great advice, guidance. When I was homeless, he gave me a few $100 to get a place to stay.
Hold on.
He's like, yeah, get a hotel for a week. And I'm like,
let's pause there. When were you homeless? Walk us through that.
Three different times. The first time is when I was emancipated from foster care. I was homeless. The next time is when when me and my auntie were sharing an apartment, and then we basically got evicted because they were selling the apartment and there was no money. You know how when they ask you to leave, they give you like your deposit back and all that?
Right.
Well, they were taking forever to give that back. So my auntie moved in with her dude. I moved into my car. And so I was like sitting in front of, it was crazy because I was like sitting in front of Department of Children's Services office because I found out they had an independent living program for emancipated foster youth. And so in the independent living program, they teach you how to pay your bills, how to pay rent, how to, you know, fill out applications, how to apply for jobs and all this stuff. And I already had a job. I just didn't have a place to stay. So I was getting on these social workers' nerves, too. 2 weeks, I was in their office every day washing my ass, sitting in their lobby, go to work, come back, sleep in front of their building in my car. And then finally, they gave me an apartment. And things worked out great. But then I was emancipated from that. You know, that you can only be there for so long. And they gave me my money to move. But things didn't pan out. It didn't pan. My credit wasn't good enough. A lot of things wasn't good. I didn't understand the power of credit. I didn't understand. It was a lot of things I didn't know because I didn't have a mother or a father or anybody teach me about, like, certain things. So it was very difficult, right?
I'm so sorry.
It's incredible the way that you figured everything out and you put everything in front of you and you knocked it down. It's really stunning. I mean, good for you.
So I would go do these comedy shows. At the Laugh Factory, and that's where I would get to eat, right? And that's where I get to be around people. And I was just trying to be as happy as possible, right? As much joy as possible. And it was so crazy because Kevin, like, I had all my stuff in the car, and Kevin pulled up behind me one day, and I would always show up like 10, 15 minutes late. Like, I'd be down the street, but I would wait so nobody could see all the shit in my car. And Kevin pulled up behind me. He saw all this. He was like, what's going on with you? And I was like, nothing. He was like, what's all that in your car? I'm just in between places. I'm moving right now. And at this point, I'm sleeping in front of like these houses in Beverly Hills, you know, just in like washing at my job and like just... Mm-hmm. You know, and always make sure my hair was done and my nails were done, because I figured if my hair and nails are always done, nobody will know, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I keep baby wipes, always smell good, like nobody will know. But Kevin figured it out, had a conversation with me. He's like, write out a list of goals. He's like, I want you to get, here's a few $100, write out a list of goals.
I say
and
the
start
exact
doing
same thing.
One thing every day towards that goal.
Absolutely.
If you can do at least one thing every day towards a goal, you'll accomplish it.
I have a scholarship set up in my alma mater, Illinois State University. And when I go down there and talk to the kids, it's the first thing I say. I always talk about writing out your goals. and exactly everything you're saying. It's so true.
That's the first step. Yeah. You got to see it. If you see it, yeah. it becomes infectious.
Wow, yeah. Tiffany, right. that's
Tiffany,
incredible.
It's so incredible, though. Like, you go from this thing and talking about, you know, even just now when you're talking about it, obviously it's very emotional, about being in that place where, I mean, real struggle, really real struggle. And then what you're going to do is you're going at night and you're making people laugh out of your own struggle. The flip of it is you're going and making people laugh. There's something sort of so bigger than all of us in that. Mm-hmm. There's something really, really powerful about that you were able to go and do that, because I know for me, I would feel such a sense of give up, like, fuck, I wouldn't be able to do it. And to hear how not only you're able to get it,
but that was my drug. It's still my drug. Is the laughter is my drug.
Yeah, like, I get that. I mean, yeah.
I needed it to even be able to sleep, to even be able to feel okay about, like, anything.
What was the one moment, though, through all of that and all of that pain and that struggle, what was the first glimmer of light? What was the first moment you were like,
yeah,
wait a minute, I think this might be the gate out of here?
Kevin caring. Mm-hmm. Somebody actually caring, mm-hmm. and like trying to help. Then Paul Mooney found out, and Paul Mooney's like, "Oh, I heard you was homeless. You need a place to stay. My sister, she got kids. She need a nanny. You could go stay over there and take care of kids." I'm like, I'd much rather be homeless than be a nanny.
Yeah, right. But no wonder you're so focused on giving back and providing some hope and some guidance and some advice to folks that might be right where you were X number of years ago, and just letting them know that it's possible and here was my path. Mm-hmm. Good for you.
So inspiring. It's so inspiring.
I mean, it's a long ass road. It's a long journey. But
Jason, you wouldn't have been able to go live in your car, Jason, right? Because the Porsche is so small in those days. Yeah. Like, you would have.
I can't.
But I had a Geo Metro, bro. I was in a 2-door hatchback Geo Metro.
No.
You can live in anything if you want to live.
My God.
Oh, my. What? Wow. It's so inspiring. It makes me.
It is inspiring. It is incredible. You are such a force. I will say again, when we first got to know each other, when we.
And Tiff, you don't have kids, though. Do you want kids?
I don't have any kids. I do want to adopt. I don't know if I don't know if I'm even physically capable of actually giving birth. That's that's on God. But definitely I want to adopt, because I wish somebody would have adopted me and taught me.
All right.
Like, a better way. And so I want to do that for somebody else. Everything I wish would have happened for me is what I'm trying to give to others. You know, that's what I'm trying to do for somebody
else. That's such a basic sort of, some people, we all sort of grow up with a certain level of, pluses and minuses in all of our situations. And every kid has a choice to whether they're going to take and learn from it, or sort of spend their life, you know, everyone's going to pay the bill now. You know, but taking it and sort of seeing, well, this is the opposite of what I want, and I'm going to do the positive side of it, the different side of it. It's just such a generous and a lovely way to approach life, such a healthier perspective. Good for
you.
I
literally just wrote down what you said.
Who, me? No, not me.
Not Jason.
No, what Tiffany just said. Everything I wish happened to me is what I want to give back to others. I love that.
Yeah. Would you rather your entire year be spent on stage doing stand-up, or do you love being on sets and that whole process? Because it's a wildly different thing.
On stage.
Oh. On stage, much more fun.
On stage, because it's immediate gratification.
Right.
Immediate.
Yeah.
Unless it's like a super dope-ass crew, mm-hmm. like if the crew's really dope and we like have a really great time together. Which, like, that was Girls Trip. Like, we would have so much fun together, and they'd be like, cut, and we're all laughing. And we'd be like, I can't believe you just did that, blah, 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 blah. Like, if it's that thing, then great. But on stage is...
Yeah. Well, you're now in a position to, any set that you're on, you can control or certainly influence the vibe, the atmosphere, the harmony on that set. You can set an example and basically say, let's not all take ourselves seriously and let's have fun out here.
Yeah, and we always have fun. And no matter what set I'm on, we have a good time. I always have a good time. Even if I'm like feeling sick or something, I'll be like, everybody, I don't feel the best today. So I might be a little bit out of character, but just work with me. But I feel like I'm turning into the devil himself, okay? Yeah. But we're going to work with it. In action. Hey, guys. Right.
One day we were doing press and you were really sick. Remember, you were really sick, yeah. And then we went over to England, and you were so tired. She wouldn't take a day off. You were, like, doing shows, and you were doing the thing, and then you flew to England. You were, like, sick, but you could not tell. Once they were rolling, you're, like, you were in it.
In action.
Yeah.
Wait, Tip, you have a show tonight?
This afternoon.
Oh, my God.
I want to see you do one of those big, huge venue shows, because I feel like that used to happen a lot more when I was a little kid, like, you know, the George Carlins or the Richard Pryors or Eddie Murphy's or those big shows, Robin Williams do them, right? Do we have many of those anymore? I mean, I guess we do, right? Yeah. Netflix does tons of those.
Yeah. You should look on the internet, dude.
I do tons of them. Like, I go on tour and it's like just theaters. I do theaters, like, you know, 4,000, 5,000 seat theaters.
And do you walk around each day with like a little pad of paper in your back pocket, and when you see or think of something funny, you jot it down, or can you just like remember that stuff?
I voice record. Okay. I voice record it.
Yeah.
On my phone, and then I also like if somebody ever got a hold of my phone and listened to all my voice memos, they would be like, "What the
fuck her up.
Was she thinking?"
Like, I would kill to hear that. I would love to hear that.
Like. It's some crazy stuff.
And then what's your process after that?
And I'll call my friends and talk about it.
Oh, so you'll talk to your friends about it, but then will you write it down and actually try to structure it in some sort of like, how much do you rely on kind of the written word, or will you just kind of freestyle it and just kind of have a concept?
If I feel like it's a big concept, a big idea, I will sit down in my notebook and I'll write it down. Usually right before I go to bed, I'll listen to all the voice memos that I've done and I'll write down the biggest ideas, right? Yeah. And the biggest ideas... I'll like put little like remember how in school you used to do the thought bubble and then all the little bubbles all around it?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So and I'll do that like little bubbles all around, like little punchlines, potential funny things. How would I tell this as a story? And then I let it go and I stick it under my pillow and I go to sleep. Right. And I imagine it's happening in my brain as I'm sleeping.
I love that. Cool. Is that a process that someone taught you, or is it you created your own way to do it that way?
I've been kind of just doing that. In comedy camp, when I went to the Laugh Factory comedy camp, they would teach us, like, if you have a punchline, the thing that's funny, you write that down, and then you write it out as a story. Then write it out as a story, and how do you get to that punchline? But always go with the stories. Like, the stories are the best things. The best comedians tell a story. And it's filled up with punches, right? So, and your laughs per minute, depends on you as a person. Do you want 30 laughs per minute? You want, so like every 2 seconds, somebody's laughing? Right. Or do you want, 5 or 10 or 15 laughs per minute? It depends on the design of the story, though, right? Like, how do you want it? And how physical is the comedy? Then I start watching a lot of, like, Jerry Lewis and Charlie Chaplin and all these, and because they were resonating all over the world. Well, how do you resonate all over the world if you don't speak the languages of all over the world?
Physical.
You got to use your instrument. You got to use your body. You got to have, and the tone of your voice and the way that you talk and the way you squint your face is like, people understand that no matter what, no matter what they speak, they
Universal.
Feel, they know energy, right? Yeah. So make sure your energy's on and you can, like, and learning how to gauge that with the words.
Mm-hmm. You seem to have...
Sean, do you think you'll ever get above 0 laughs per minute?
No, look, if I get one...
No, that'd be so good, right? If you got one, that'd
I go
be so
for
good.
One every, like, 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
You're crushing it.
But Tiffany, you seem to have, like... endless, bountiful energy.
Yeah.
And positivity and...
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm an asshole first thing in the morning.
No,
you're
not.
I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah, but who is
it? I'm a piece of shit till after my cold shower.
I mean, do you have energy like this all day, every day?
No, when I'm at home and I'm not working and I'm alone, I'm very quiet, very reserved. Even like when I'm with my man... I'm very quiet. He has to talk. You talk to me, then I'll talk back. Like, I'm very, when I'm not at work.
Would you say you're an introvert? Because I know I am.
Nah, because if I see something that I'm into, I light up, right? But most of the time I'm trying to maintain my energy. So I'm quiet a lot of the times until you talk to me.
Yeah.
Right.
But introvert, no, because maybe when I was younger, yes.
Yeah.
Because I was scared a lot of the times, too.
Yeah.
Fear makes you like, it's just risky, you know.
Right.
But it feels like you flipped all that fear. Like you used.
Yeah, I learned how to control fear.
Yeah.
You use the fear. Like fear is necessary. It's a tool. God gave it to us for a reason.
Yeah.
We'll use it.
Right.
And I use it.
Yeah.
But that's also why I don't do scary movies, because I know that fear feels real. And then I'm going to take that home and then.
Yeah.
Shit. Like, I love a good drama because I'm about that drama, but woo, that scary demons and shit.
I want to quickly just, Tiffany, ask you about your new movie. Talk to us a little bit about your movie. Well, talk to us about, which one do you want to talk about?
Your choice.
You've got so many movies.
Well, Here Today just came out streaming. It's now streaming. It's a movie with Billy Crystal and I. It's a very powerful comedy, dramedy, I would say.
I saw the trailer for that. It looks great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really great.
I want to see that.
It's very moving. You need to be prepared to laugh and potentially cry a little bit.
Because
This is about a man that's going through dementia and about a woman who sees him and realizes he doesn't have the help that he needs and she wants to help.
Mm.
She wants to be a service.
He's one of our greats. I bet you enjoyed working with him.
Oh, my God. I learned so much.
Yeah.
I learned so much.
What a classy man.
So, Card Counter's coming out in September. Oh, and I'm going to the Venice Film Festival. It'll be my first time ever going to Venice.
Oh, wow.
Sean and I have been there together. Sean and I went to Venice together years ago.
You'll love it.
Any tips, any advice? They told me I can only bring one person with me, but I'm going to pay to bring other people.
Mm. Yeah.
Like hair and makeup.
Right. Yeah, of course.
And security.
Any advice? Insecurity. You know what? We took the boat out to some remote location near Venice and saw some church that was built thousands of years ago. I highly recommend it. I'll text you with more specific information.
No, that sounds pretty specific.
Where'd nice you go, tip. Sean? You ever work for Fedora's? my recommendation is just bring some rubber boots because the water level is rising there, you know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's beautiful. Just enjoy all of it. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Tiff, thank you for being here today. And also thank you for for being open like you always are and inspiring not just me and us, but whoever's listening to this. You really are such a magnet, incredible story of
thank you.
Will.
Yeah, you're an incredible story, an incredible person. I agree with Sean. You're a special person. So
thank you.
This has been awesome having you here today. So thank you
so
much.
I'm
going to
go the other way on this. Hold on a second. Tiffany, I find it all very... No. I absolutely agree. And just so happy that you spent some time with us today. And we're so generous with your story and your...
Well, thank you. Well, I'm always open to share. And I look forward to working with you all at some point.
Yeah, likewise.
Will?
Yes, Tiff.
God bless. Jason, I can't wait to work with you.
Okay,
Did you guys come out with another season of Ozark? Because I want to know what the fuck happened.
We are working on it now. I'll bet you first part of next year it'll be out.
And Sean and I, we're going to do a sketch show together. Correct,
yes,
Sean?
That is correct. One of these days, we made a deal together and we're going to do a sketch show.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Because I'm like, what the hell is going on?
COVID happened and shut the whole thing down, but it's going to happen.
Well, we got to make it happen.
We are. I'm going to make it happen.
Let's all meet at the supermarket. We'll meet at the new supermarket, and we'll work it all out.
Let's do it.
We'll see you at the co-op.
All right.
Tiffany, my God, thank you so much.
Love you.
See y'all later.
Yeah.
Bye, Tiffany. Thank you.
Yeah.
Bye, Tiffany.
Bye, sweetie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye. What a sweetheart.
I will say, we got along so great, and I love spending time with her. We got to spend a bunch of time together over the course of a few weeks, and... We laughed so much and had so much fun, and she does have a magnetic personality.
Yeah, she really does. So authentic.
She's so funny. So authentic.
Yeah.
So honest.
And those are my favorite stories of all time. I love those stories. People really lifting themselves up and making stuff happen. You know, my therapist calls those types of people figure it outers.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, "Oh, you are a figure it outer, Sean."
Because
you
know, the therapist sounds like a real genius.
Yeah, it sounds like
a real way with words.
Do you get a deal on this one? What happened? About $20 an hour?
Never tell anybody else that story is my advice.
No,
to
I won't.
You.
And she, you know, $20 an hour, and that's like that's a break for me. It's usually 25 or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow. Oh,
they talked her down.
But Tiffany,
yeah, I love
right?
her.
Tiffany is amazing. All those and all the stuff she does, and you know, she's. I heard that she was trying to put this supermarket together back in her community where she grew up, and
I'm so into that. I really want to get involved somehow.
No kidding, me too. It's so. And by the way, people listening going like, "Yeah, listen to these fucking guys going, yeah, me too." Probably never do it. It's for real. Like she's.
Yeah, no, I'm serious.
Yeah, same. Jason's not doesn't want to do it, but.
No, you know what I'm doing? I find myself sitting here trying to think of how can I work a buy into this thing? And, you know, it's, I should be thinking about the conversation and not mm-hmm. about trying to figure out how to say goodbye in a creative, funny
You're trying
way.
To work out.
Yeah, I'm trying to think like, how could, what's in a supermarket that starts with buy?
Well, just about everything you can buy.
Bye.
Oh, God, that's right.
There.
Bye.
Smart.
Smartless is 100% organic and artisanally handcrafted by Rob Armjarv, Bennett Barbaco, and Michael Grant Terry. If you like Smartless, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Hey, listener, it's Jason Bateman. You know him for putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville's bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his new podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. His new podcast, in collaboration with us here at Smartless Media, also features longtime This American Life contributor Elna Baker as his co-host. Together, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surf 100-foot waves, ride 600-mile-per-hour rocket sleds, and wrestle crocodiles for fun. On Pretty Sure I Can Fly, Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational Hold My Beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.